Welcome back to the Suburban Black Girl Podcast, episode 35. Cheers.
I can't believe we're at 35 already. Time's just flying. I think, you know, just piggybacking off of what we discussed last week, you know, we always talk about being at peace with ourselves, right? And it does take time to get to that point where you're okay with being alone. You don't feel like, you know, you have to settle to be with someone. So this week we're going to talk about, I'm not lonely. I'm finally at peace.
Period.
So just getting into that, maybe what are some of our practices or things that we've done to feel at peace within ourselves. And let's just talk about it.
Amen. You know, I love to reset my social battery alone.
No, seriously. And also us being both only children, I think that's a huge part of it as well.
It is.
You know, we as only children, we quickly get overstimulated.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like people love us the most for some reason. This is like, they're just like, ah!
Yeah.
It's like, please, I need a break.
Yeah.
It's always like, what's wrong? It's like, nothing's wrong. I just need a break.
Nothing's wrong. I'm just sitting calm. I don't need to do the most.
No, seriously. The first category we'll talk about is self-awareness and clarity. So for you, when was the last time you truly spent time alone without distractions or a to-do list?
Ooh, or a to-do list?
Right, the to-do list. I'm like, when?
I feel like it's been a while for me. And I feel like I used to be better about this maybe last year. I used to set like intentional time in the morning to, you know, wake up, sit in silence is actually something I would do. Like I would drink my tea and sit in silence. So no phone, no TV, no nothing, because I think that's the best way to hear your own thoughts, but also like feel your own feelings. And I would do that, have my tea, and then I would journal it out. And so I definitely spend enough time alone, but definitely not sitting like reflecting and digesting things as much as I used to. And I do want to get back to that because I think it's important. I think when you're constantly like go, 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 and constantly trying to like mentally check stuff off your to-do list, you don't have time to actually settle and feel things. And I think a lot of times that's why people keep themselves busy, so that they can be distracted. But you know, I think part of being mentally and emotionally healthy is sitting with your feelings. And I think you can only do that when you have that solitude and alone time.
No, I definitely agree with that. I'm honestly trying to think back to the last time I felt like I've just been able to spend time by myself. I think it's definitely been overdue for me, but it's needed. Because I've been thinking, I'm like, I thought I was going to have time this weekend. I'm like, Charles, Beyonce weekend, what I thought.
Beyonce weekend in Houston.
Literally. So if I think back to it, or without a to-do list, that's hard within itself. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like the days where I have time to be alone are the days where I try to knock out certain tasks, right?
Exactly.
So I'm like trying to do nothing at all. It's been a minute, but the season I'm in, it's just kind of a lot more going on. Mm-hmm. But when I do have that time for myself, I literally just rot on my couch watching TV, scrolling on my phone. And when those days when I can do that, I try to make sure like I literally don't leave the house, because then I feel like it offsets me from just that restfulness and that peace I'm in. Mm-hmm. So the times where I do that, it's like no plans for the day. I'm door dashing my food. I'm literally not leaving the house. I'm sleeping in. Because it's hard to sleep in past like 10, 11 o'clock now. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like my routine, if I can get to that. Especially like on a gloomy day. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I definitely have found time to do that. But it's almost like when you finally do have time to do that, that is what you want to do, is like catch up on a show. Yes. Or doom scroll. And it's like, to the question, is that real alone time with yourself? And that's why I said I feel like I haven't done that in a while, because I've definitely made time to, DoorDash, catch up on my shows, binge watch something on Netflix, but like actually take like an hour, 30 minutes with your own thoughts and feelings.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I actually enjoy doing that. I can do that with no music, no TV, and just kind of sit there and be okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have those inner thoughts that go through my mind and I think things through. But, if you put it that way, for sure, it's definitely been a minute.
I think a walk is good for that. A walk without music, without headphones, you know? Well, child, these days, we don't need to be wearing headphones. People dying in the parks.
No, literally. Not just sending me my favorite park.
That's why I sent it to you. Because I was like, oh, no, Ashlyn.
Child, better be going there.
Go in the daytime.
You know, literally. Literally.
Be aware of your surroundings. But, yeah, like, getting fresh air, vitamin D, outdoor time, and, like, nothing in your ears, no music, I think is good. I think it can be harder to try and do that at home.
No, for sure. For sure. And me lately, I've talked about it before, me doing my little, like, yoga classes. Mm-hmm. Even though there's an instructor talking, you know, they do press you to, you know, release those inner thoughts. You know, what do you want to, what did you come here bearing? What do you want to leave with? What do you want to, you know, manifest, that things of that nature, working on your breathing. So mm-hmm. that's a part of, like, what I've been putting in my routine to kind of have those alone time, alone thoughts. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm like, wow. You know, your breathing, all that does kind of affect your mental. So
yeah,
it's a new thing. I'm not too deep in it because it kind of scares me. Like some of the things that they say, I'm like, it kind of gives me cultish vibes. I don't know why. So
I can see that because it's like,
okay, on three, say namaste. I never say that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I don't know what that really means, but no.
I can see that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, what are we really? So
what is this ritual?
Yeah. So I don't get too deep, but what do you learn about yourself in solitude that you can't hear in a crowd?
Learn about myself. That I'm not sure, but I think what I do get a better understanding of from solitude is just how I feel.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when you're busy, 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 like you just put stuff down, mm-hmm. like you shove it down. You compartmentalize, right? You're like, okay, I'll deal with this later. Or I can't right now. Like, you know, and then when you finally get time to settle, I think those feelings can kind of like come in and then you can actually process them. So I think, and that's for me what's most important because I'm the type of person where like I do feel first. You know, there's people where they think first and then they, like I feel first and I can struggle to articulate what I'm feeling because I haven't had time to digest it. Like I have to sit alone and figure out like, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling it? What does it stem from? What was the trigger? And like, I need that alone time in order to get there. So I think that's what's most important for me because if something's upsetting me and I try to explain to somebody in that moment, it's not gonna come out right.
Mm-hmm.
And even sometimes like, I feel like sometimes I can struggle with anxiety or being anxious and I have to sit down and think back to the last hour or two of a conversation I had or something I read and like what just caused the change in my mood all of a sudden. And so again, that's like what's important for me is just to sit and backtrack because sometimes it is a conversation with someone and then all of a sudden I feel like my nervous system on 10 and it's like, wait, nothing's wrong right now. So what just triggered that?
Yeah.
So I think for me, that's why like that alone time and the sitting in silence is important.
No, for sure. I definitely agree with that. I think of that in a sense, you know, maybe you have conflict going on with someone in your life or maybe it's work related, family, mm-hmm. a relationship. And for me, when I think of like the outside noise, it's, you know, when we feel something and you want to go confide in someone else to get advice,
mm-hmm.
yes, it's great to get advice from those around you, but also blocking that out sometimes and just thinking of that's not their situation that they're in. So sometimes it's, yes, taking what people are saying, but also thinking, well, how do I truly feel? And, you know, how do you get through this? Because everyone's going to handle situations differently, especially when they're not physically in it. And just taking that information, but still making the rational decision within your own inner thoughts and your own feeling something. You know, there's decisions when I was younger I made based off of the advice that friends gave me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so making decisions that align with what you truly want. And not just what other people are telling you to do. So I kind of think of that as well.
Yeah. For me, it's like, when it comes to advice, it's like God mm-hmm. and my therapist. Mm-hmm. And of course, I confide in friends. But at the end of the day, none of us know more than each other. Like,
no, because the blind leading the blind.
Exactly. So it's best to just sit alone with your feelings and focus mm-hmm. on how you feel. And I used to think, because I'm a very empathetic person, which I am, but, you know, an overused strength is a weakness. And so I used to be the type of person where somebody would do something to me and I would always look for the why. Like, I would try to understand why they did this. Like, okay, what mindset were they in? What were they going through that they did this to me? And I've learned, and I always thought it was because I was an empathetic person. Like, even though you hurt me, yep. I can try and see where you're coming from. And that still holds true. But part of being alone and sitting with your feelings is like, I don't like the way I feel right now.
Yes.
And what I had to learn was that me focusing on the why did they do that, was actually me being emotionally unavailable to myself. Mm. Because if you focus on why somebody did you wrong, then you don't have to feel the pain that you heard from their feel from their actions.
Yeah, that's real.
So
it's deep.
Now yeah. I'm at the point where it's like, okay, you're an imperfect human being and I can empathize with the fact that you made a mistake. I don't need the why, because the only thing that matters is the fact that I didn't like it.
Yes.
And it hurt me. And that's it. And you only get there when you acknowledge the fact that you're hurt. But people don't like to do that because it's painful. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot easier to intellectualize things and try and see why and nitpick and see, you know, dissect why somebody did what they did.
Right.
Than it is to sit with yourself and acknowledge this person hurt me and I'm not okay with that. And then also it's like twofold, because it's like acknowledging that your feelings are hurt is hard. Mm-hmm. And then also in turn setting a boundary is hard.
No, you're so right about that.
But if I don't ever take the time to sit alone and say, oh, actually, I'm really hurt by this, then you never get there.
For sure.
You know?
For sure. And it takes time, right, to kind of sit alone in your thoughts. And sitting alone in your thoughts for everyone looks differently. It's not always being in the house, because a lot of people find depression at home, mm-hmm. right? Or you feel more depressed. So it's finding maybe what are those things that you enjoy doing, but doing it alone. Like I just said, yoga, mm-hmm. even though I'm in a class around other people, we're not talking to each other. So you're kind of in your own zone and in your own way. For me, when I was younger, I used to think it was weird seeing grownups at bars and restaurants eating alone. Now I actually don't mind having that time eating at a restaurant by myself alone. Mm-hmm. That's healthy. And it's great to have that alone time, because a lot of people can't even function in this world alone, just, you know, doing certain tasks or things that you do with typically two or more people. And so that's another thing. It's just, yeah, finding that thing that you enjoy and just using that time as your alone time. But yeah, what you said is real. Have you ever found clarity on something, whether it's a relationship, a decision, a habit, only after you've spent time alone?
Definitely relationships.
Yeah.
Right? Because sure. If you're going through like a bad time in your relationship where you're like fighting, making up, whatever. And it's just like, at a certain point, I feel like you go into survival mode.
Yeah.
And it's only when you get some time alone with yourself for everything to settle down. And then you're like, this is toxic. I can't do this anymore, you know?
Yeah. That's the only way to get clarity on a situation, is when you've spent time away from it. Because when else do you have time to kind of think things through and realize the change in your energy or your vibe, right? Unless mm-hmm. you're away from that person or thing or habit or whatever it may be. Yeah, no, for sure. Like, there's no way. Like, any toxic relationship I have in the past, sadly, I didn't realize it until I had removed myself or stepped away for a bit, or, you know, you have a little mini breakup. So, yeah.
Yeah, hindsight is 20/20. So after it's over, you're like, why the hell was I doing that? But yeah. You can't see clearly when you're in the thick of it, so.
Which is like, why not though? Like, well, why did the lens be so blurry?
I don't know. I think it can vary for each person, but like mm-hmm. sometimes you can lose yourself in the relationship, or sometimes you can just not want to give up on it, or I think even in mentally or emotionally or physically abusive relationships, certain things just literally become normalized, mm-hmm. right? Because if somebody like says something disrespectful once, you're like shocked by it the first time, but then you're like, you try to forgive them. But then when it happens again and again, like then it becomes normalized. And then it's not until after you're out of that situation where you're like, well, that was not normal.
Right.
Or okay.
No, it's very true. It's very true. Yeah, because I think, but I'm like, what was wrong? You know?
Well, I think at our age also, it's the frontal lobe development, as you say.
Like, yeah.
Because now it's like, oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, no. You can see the BS a mile away. Okay, let's see what you think about this. Have you ever mistaken loneliness for the discomfort of being distracted? You know.
Of not being distracted.
Right. Because, yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, right, when you're lonely, you're just like.
Yeah. Spending time alone can feel very peaceful. But then after a while, you can feel lonely. But I think sometimes that's okay. I think a lot of people are, and I have friends like this that literally do not like to be home alone.
Yeah, so do I.
Because they don't, everything we're talking about sitting with your feelings and acknowledging them, people don't want to do that. Correct. So they would rather fill their schedule with plans, be out the house, be outside. And you see it, honestly, that is the biggest thing I feel like about living here in club culture.
Jesus.
Is like you see the way people are out every day, every weekend, because they're, I mean, we always joke that they're fighting demons, but like some people are.
Yeah.
But also it's just like people don't want to be in the house alone.
No.
Because everybody has trauma. Everybody has things they're dealing with, whatever. And when you are at home alone, you're alone with your own thoughts. And I think people would rather be outside than have to deal with that. And that's a dangerous cycle.
No, it is. Because living here for so many years and seeing the same faces on social media outside several times a week,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, y'all, that's quite alarming, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's also seeing people for years being outside and still the same person. You don't see any growth or mm-hmm. change. It's literally the same person I knew years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's extremely alarming because, yeah, it's like you're not really sitting with your inner thoughts. And you're having enablers around you that instead of, hey, I think you should kind of like chill, you know, they're like, come on, we outside. It's yeah. like, but see, that's also the downside of living in a city like this is when you're down, you're in your feelings, people are like, girl, F that, come outside, like, let's drink, let's get messed up. It's like, can we go to church together?
Yeah.
Maybe pour into me, but don't. You know, put me in another toxic environment when you know I'm going through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no, it's very unfortunate. It's super unfortunate.
Yeah. And I think that's where it's hard because a lot of people have moved here and that's the only way to make friends. If you move here and you don't know anyone, then it's like going outside. And, you know, I feel like we have like a friend group where it's like if somebody's going through something or like, we will just gather at somebody's house and have like a girls' night or we will go to church or whatever it is, you know. Obviously, a lot of the best times we've had is just like being in the house.
It really is. I was just going to say that.
You know, so, and I think that, I don't know. It like that just feel, it actually warms my heart so much, right? Because going out and drinking and whatever, like it is escapism.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for me, when I see my friends going through something, like that's the best way I know how is just like inviting them over mm-hmm. and creating like a safe space.
Yeah.
So, but I do think people can mistake spending that time alone with themselves for feeling lonely when, no, you're actually probably doing something very healthy, which is slowing down for a minute.
No, for sure. For sure. And it's also, you know, even for you, you've talked about it before where you've turned more into a person that was more inside. And it's not like those around us took it personal. I mean, maybe some people did, but a lot of us did not. And it's important to have friends around you that support that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, girl, I'm going to love you whether you want to be in the house or not,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's why I'm so big on the type of people I surround myself with, because it's like, whether I go outside or not, or as we talk about before, transitioning through life, still being there for someone, and don't beat them down based on decisions that they're making to better themselves. Mm-hmm. We all have different ways of getting to, you know, the American dream or whatever, what we want to accomplish. So just because I choose to do this and you don't, that's fine. But also to go back to the question, it made me think about, you know, being lonely. It is sometimes it's a long period to wait, right? And not everyone can really thug it out. And mm-hmm. it's so important to just be patient. For me, it's praying through it. I'm like, man, this is a long time I'm waiting, right? Because in the end, it does feel better once you come out of it, but it's not giving up too soon. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like right when it's getting really hard, you're just right over the cusp of making it over. So it's just when it gets to the extreme hardest point, finding something to, I don't know, it's harder. It's easier said than done, but, you know, just finding ways to just push through it and not give up. Because when I think of anything in life that I've like, hey, this is my goal, and I break that goal, and obviously I'm not working towards it anymore, you have to start back over.
Yeah.
So it's like, just keep pushing through. That way you don't have to start over and relearn the lesson again, again, and again.
Yeah. And I think people, like how you go to your yoga classes, I feel mm-hmm. like people need more healthy activities to do by themselves.
Yeah.
You know, not just going out and partying or whatever. But like, I feel like the idea of hobbies, I feel like, is getting lost for people, you know, if it's painting, whatever it is, I don't know. Especially with social media too, I feel like that's making everything worse because people are alone at home and yeah. then they are just not doom scrolling like for a break. That's what all they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's not the kind of healthy solitude that you need, because then you see the people that are in our comments that are just lonely and miserable. But on the flip side, you see the people that are just like idolizing people online.
Yeah, it's scary.
Because they don't have anything, you know, that's fulfilling them outside of that. So, yeah. And I think this is a whole nother topic, but it just speaks to the idea that like everybody needs to have purpose, because without that, what is life?
Right. No, for sure. And sadly, when I think about it, when I go to these different like yoga studios or the different workout classes I do, I don't see many people that look like me. Mm-hmm. And the city we live in, I hate to say it, if I go to the nearest bar or club or lounge, we all up in there. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we're just not making that decision to step outside of our comfort zone and try something. If you asked me 2 years ago, a yoga class, I would laugh. I used to think yoga was a joke, but I opened my mind to like, let me give it a shot. Mm-hmm. And you don't realize as time goes on, the one thing maybe you said you didn't think you would like or get into, you may find yourself liking it. Now for me, I'm like, I actually like to go to yoga every week. Mm-hmm. Before I'm like, hell no, that's boring. What am I going to do in there?
Yeah.
But I think it was just, you know, the stage of life I was in. I wasn't opening my mind and expanding my horizons to it. And now, you know, as you get older, you learn to love yourself more, of course, but also really get to know yourself better. And now that I know more of who I am, it really does help me mm-hmm. push through a lot of things. So yeah, for sure. I'm big on my wellness and taking the holistic journey and approach to life.
Yeah.
Because that hookah's killing us.
Exercise will do it. Get them endorphins in the brain.
Yeah. Too much tequila and hookah.
Alcohol will do it. As I sip my drink.
Literally. Just one though. At least we're not like driving the boat. When I think back, I'm like, how was I surviving?
I don't know, but I definitely had significantly worse anxiety back then.
Heck,
the
yes.
more I was drinking. Not good.
No, literally. Like, why was it healthy to go to bed with your head spinning?
I can't now.
No, I would die.
No, I literally can't.
I would die. This is a good question. What's something you feared would come up if you stopped constantly doing or being around people?
I'd have to speak from probably like a couple years ago in my life, not now.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Because when I think of it too, I think of, right, of being so outside. Mm-hmm. And that transition of being from so outside is, to be honest with you, when I made the decision to not be outside as much, I really wasn't pressed about who I was going to lose or the clout or all the connections or whatever I have, but not everyone thinks like that. And I realize that a lot with a lot of people that go outside, it's you have a clout and you have a name. But I started to think, it's like, well, no offense, go to another city. Who knows you? You know what I mean? And that kind of reminds me of just people seeking outside validation. And once you get to the point where you're not seeking outside validation, you're okay with, hey, whoever loves me in this season is going to love me in the next. And I still have a lot of the same friends that I had years ago. And if I'm no longer friends with people or people think I'm different, like, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because looking back, I wasn't as happy as I was then as I am now. Mm-hmm. And that was the whole point.
Yeah.
You know? What about for you when you think back?
I think back then, for me, it was just that fear of being alone. I think over the past couple of years, that's been the biggest change for me, is I don't have a fear of being alone. I enjoy my alone time. I enjoy being single. I enjoy my own company. I enjoy the peace that comes with that. And I think maybe when I was younger, I would rather, now this was maybe not a conscious decision, but subconsciously, it's like you would rather stay in a relationship that's not good for you because at least you're not alone.
Yeah.
And so I think that's been the biggest change for me, is like, and that's what, and I think this, if there's any message that people take from this episode, is that like, you have to be comfortable being alone, because if you're not, then you stay in situations that you have no business being in.
Right.
But if you are comfortable standing on your own, you're not going to stay in a friendship that's toxic. You're not going to stay in a relationship that's toxic. You're not going to put up with BS from anyone. And I think that's been the biggest lesson for me. And it's like, even ending a relationship, like, it would be fueled with so much anxiety of, but like, now I'm more, if something ends, I feel a lot more at peace because I know I'm okay alone.
Right.
And anyone in my life is going to be an addition, and my cup will be overflowing, but my cup is full on my own. And I think that's been the biggest shift for me, because people will keep, you know, people that are in friend groups where they don't even like each other, but it's just like, they're all each other has, like, that's no. So, and that's why people don't like people that can stand alone.
They don't, they, you know, will literally try to attack you.
Yeah. So I think that's really, really, really important, is you don't have to put up with anybody's BS. You don't have to keep anybody around, and that gets a lot easier when you are comfortable alone.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's definitely one of my biggest life lessons, is mastering being alone. Because when you see a lot of the situations or decisions people make, it's based off of just simply not wanting to be alone. Mm-hmm. And you don't realize how much that stunts your growth when you just don't have that time to be alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think kind of like benefit of that is you also don't seek external validation. That's how people get in these toxic loops of being outside, being in bad relationships, being with friends with people they have no, it's all the opinions of others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when you can get comfortable doing what's best for you regardless of anybody else's opinion, that's part of it, being comfortable being alone. It's like you are confident and comfortable in that regardless of external opinions, mm-hmm, and all of that. So
no, for sure, for sure. And it does take time to accept, you know, what people think about you, and don't let it change how you feel about yourself or how you show up in this world. Mm-hmm. But it's something that we have to unlearn from childhood, right? Because all of us have faced bullies in some way, shape, or form growing up. So it's having to unlearn, you know, having to defend yourself. And, you know, when you're a child and adolescence, you're so busy trying to please other people so that, you know, you quote unquote get along, right? But once you realize, you're like, listen, whether I'm by myself or not, I'm fine, you know?
Yeah.
But that takes time to unlearn, for sure, for me, based on just growing up.
Yeah. And I think that's something I would probably keep in mind as a parent, is, this was something I was thinking about yesterday, and this is, again, its own topic in itself, but I think a lot of times, like, the idea, now, when it's something like life-threatening, whatever, like, I get, as a parent, like, because I said so is appropriate. But for me, something that if the day comes that I have children that I would want to keep in mind is, like, making sure your child, like, feels comfortable in their own identity, yeah. right? Like, if they have a difference of opinion or whatever it is, a different thought process or different interests or whatever, like, giving them that safe space to do that, like, to be comfortable standing in what they feel.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Because if you disagree with it or if it's because I said so, then, like, I feel like that's where, like, the people-pleasing starts. I think it's important also to cultivate an environment for them to critically think.
Yes.
You know, sure. because I feel like you see that, and this might be offensive to some people, but, like, I feel like you see that sometimes with people that grew up in the church, because it's like, yes, you do have to have blind faith on things and da-da-da-da, but then I feel like at that age, where is the balance of critically thinking? And then you see, you know, the people that are supposedly almighty Christians following people like Donald Trump, and they believe every word he says because they don't critically think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
right.
And how much of that is, like, when they were children, it's just like, no, this is just what it is. You know what I mean?
With no explanation.
Exactly.
For sure.
So it's interesting.
No, you're right. Because growing up, a lot of child, you know, parents were just like, because I said so, and with no explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always like, but why?
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. To be shut down, it's like, dang, that's definitely one thing I don't want my kids to feel. I'm not going to, like, please don't overly bug me about it. But I do think in past generations, it was just, like you said, because I said so. And it's like, we deserve the explanation, though.
Yeah. And it's not like, can I jump off this cliff? Like, no.
Right.
Because I said so. Like, no. But, like, you know, if it's, you know what I'm trying to say.
Of course. Like, yes. Within reason.
Right.
But I do agree, being shut down so quickly.
Yeah. Because then I feel like that's what starts you, not make you be a shell of yourself, but. Yeah, it's like, are you going to continue to feel comfortable, like, speaking up about things or mm-hmm. sharing your thoughts and ideas if it's a constantly, because I said so, no.
Right. No, you're very right. I feel like you love boundaries to talk about it. What boundaries have you strengthened after getting still and listening to what you really need?
For me, it would be people-pleasing because I was overextending myself. And ignoring my own needs, trying to make sure that I could help everybody or make everybody else happy. And then you're the one that ends up unhappy. So, yeah, for me, it would be, I mean, yeah, that was my biggest issue, was people pleasing. And how we've talked about how no is a complete sentence. Yeah. And it's something I still work on. I think now I'm better at setting boundaries, but now I would like to get better at setting them without feeling guilt.
Yeah, right. It's a two-step process.
Yeah.
No, I'm right there with you. My biggest thing was I was always so selfless and not being selfish enough with myself and doing what was best for me, but always thinking of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So now I pride myself on, of course, you know, considering other people, but being more open to the fact, like, well, how does this make me feel? Because a lot of times I was doing things for the benefit of someone else and my cup was not, like, it was literally empty. That's definitely one of my biggest boundaries that I had to kind of set in place and do regardless of how people felt, right? Because, you know, if you act a certain way, someone's going to react
mm-hmm.
in a certain way. And now I'm just kind of like, whatever, you feel how you feel.
It's a you problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Before I was so big on hating conflict. Now I'm just like, hey, clearly the conflict is one-sided because I feel no way.
Mm-hmm.
And just living with that. And hey, if that person wants to come back around, typically they will apologize because it's like, yeah, you sound crazy and you look crazy.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't even that deep. So I totally agree with that. Being more vocal with, like, how I feel. I do have a problem with not being honest with, you know, fully honest because you don't want to hurt people's feelings, right? So for me, it was maybe finding better words to express myself, but also without maybe trying to hurt someone is bad, but just being honest with them versus saying, oh no, everything's fine.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, well, this honestly made me feel like this or like that. So just being more open and expressive with just my feelings of how I feel and hey, hopefully we come to a resolution versus me, you know, kind of feeling a bit uneasy about the situation.
Yeah. I need to get better with that too, because I don't know. A lot of times when you tell people how they feel, they take it personal, they become the victim, they get upset and angry, and it's like, this is not an attack on you. I'm just telling you how I feel, but...
Right.
Ugh, that's why a lot of times it's like, I'm going to just stay silent.
No, seriously. What's crazy for me, a lot of my close friends are overly vocal. I'm like, gosh. It's like, okay, for telling me, I don't have to ask you. They'll be like, this is why you have me effed up. I'm like, oh, dang. You know what I mean? So like, I don't know why I attract a lot of people that are just so open-minded.
Yeah.
Which forces me to be a little more open-minded, because I'm like, y'all are, you are not the victim.
Yeah. You know what? And a lot of times it's always the people that are so vocal about what you're doing wrong. When you hit it back, when you give it back to them, they don't know how to take it. It's interesting. No,
literally. Literally. Yeah. When the roles reverse, child.
The tables, they gonna turn.
Right. So as creatives, I mean, these are some good questions. So have you ever felt more creative or grounded after spending intentional time alone? What did that moment teach you? And you could take it from the creative side or just being feeling more grounded.
Yeah, you know, because sometimes I feel like, right, because it's much easier to brainstorm when you're alone. So I feel like I have very good brainstorming sessions in my time alone. And that helps me come up with more creative ideas. And when you can just like hear your thoughts clearly. Oh, also, my alone time is very important for me to like then get organized. So it's like twofold. It's like I come up with a creative idea, but then I can kind of come up with a roadmap or a plan to actually execute it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where my alone time is very important for me. Because, you know, I'll go down a rabbit. I'll be like, oh, light bulb. And then I go down a rabbit hole. And then I'll, like, text you the next day. And I'll send Ashlyn, like, 5-minute voice notes. I'm like, so the other day I was thinking. And then I put it in ChatGPT. And so those are kind of, like, the manic moments I have.
Or, like,
when I have time
alone. At least 4 to 5 back-to-back text messages.
Yeah. And another thing. Okay, sorry. This is the last one.
Okay, this is getting long. Bye. Like, girl. It's fine.
But yeah, that's where my alone time, I'm able to like come up with those ideas. So
yeah. No, it's so important, because for me, when I'm having like, even though I'm not a writer, but writer's block, it's just when you just don't have, your brain doesn't have enough capacity to think beyond just doing the day-to-day task. And when I find myself in that rut, I'm like, okay, I need to just chill on some things or maybe not do as much. Lately for me, I'm like, all right, pulling back on the amount of activities or outings that I'm doing. It's like, let's kind of be more inside, because my mind is so everywhere. Like it's been hard for me to kind of balance everything lately. So I'm having to not have as much outings, right? Things of that nature. You have to figure out where can I pull from to pour more into this area, right?
Yeah.
Because you really can't do it all. We talk about it all the time. You cannot, there's no such thing as really true balance. It's impossible. And if someone knows how to balance their life, please let me know. I would love to know how you're doing that. But for me, it's like, no.
Yeah.
It has been so hard to just balance everything always. Based on studies, it shows that solitude helps with problem solving and processing emotions. Do you give yourself that space when something is weighing on you?
I would like to think that I do. But I think sometimes, even lately, when life gets busy, it's like I don't give myself that time until I start to feel extremely overwhelmed and I want to get better at that. It's like I don't give myself that time until I'm like forced to, where I'm about to like spaz out because I need a moment.
Yeah.
You know, I need to be better with that, honestly.
Yeah, I get your point on that for sure. Because when I know my head starts to hurt bad, I'm like, child, you got too much going on.
Yeah, it's like it gets to a point where your body's telling you you need this and it's not even up for debate. Or, you know, it's not something you can put off anymore.
Yeah, right. Especially if you constantly, for me, it's like constantly feeling tired or exhausted, no matter the amount of sleep I've had or things of that nature. But definitely solitude is important. Do you ever resist alone time because it forces you to confront feelings you've been avoiding?
No, because I enjoy my alone time too much. Mm-hmm. But I will say there are some days that I will dread therapy because I just don't feel like opening up.
Mm.
And I will say that out loud. But that's why therapy is hard, and that's why people don't do it, because it's hard work.
Yeah.
To have to feel your feelings when you don't feel like feeling them, or hold a mirror up to yourself, hold yourself accountable for things. So, yeah, I'll never be the type of person that avoids alone time just because I enjoy it too much. I always mm-hmm. have to reset my social battery. But, yeah, I'll definitely not look forward to it because there's just things I don't feel like talking about.
I agree. I do a good job about, even if I have alone time, I love it. I love when I have no plans for the day. What? But for those that may be going through a situation where you don't like to be alone, right? And have those inner thoughts with yourself because you maybe get more in an emotional, just like downhill spiral or something of that nature. It just makes me think of, honestly, to get to the self-confidence that I had, it took me spending time alone. Because how else do you develop, you know, that unbreakable, unshakable thing if, regardless of how someone thinks or feels about me, I'm not really worried about what other people think about me because I've already done a lot of work on myself. Not saying that I'm perfect, but regardless of what people think or feel about me, I'm just like, okay. And because right. I've taken that time to be alone and sit with myself, because I've looked at myself in the mirror, literally have times where I'm looking at myself in the mirror like, girl.
Right. No, that's exactly. And that's why I always tell people, I encourage people to go to therapy, because mm-hmm. it's hard to face those things at first, but to your yeah. point, you come out of it with more confidence. Like, you're talking about looking at yourself in the mirror. That, to me, that's what therapy is. It's somebody holding a mirror up to you and like, mm-hmm. face this. And so it's hard work, but then once you get on the other side of that, you do feel more comfortable, because there's nothing that you could say to me about me that I have not already dealt with. And that's where the confidence comes from. If you want to hit me below the belt, go off. It's not going to trigger me because my therapist has already said it.
That's what I'm saying.
She's already yes. told me about myself. I've already told myself about myself.
Yeah.
I've already acknowledged it. I've dealt with it. I'm healing from it. So whatever you want right. to hit me with, like, but, and I think that also is something that triggers people, because when you are fully living in your truth, people hate that because they're yeah. not.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
It's like, you know, when people call someone a hoe and they're like, and like, and then they get pissed because it's like, that's all they had for them. And yeah. it's like, now what? What else you got for me? You know what I mean?
Sure.
So.
For sure. No, seriously.
When you can own your truth, then no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
No, literally. You definitely, yeah. No, you're definitely hitting it right on the head. Like, yeah. it's simple as that. There's nothing no one can say about me that I don't already know about myself. Yeah. So I'm just like, oh, cool. Great. I'm glad that you know
and
that too.
What of it?
Yeah.
You're just not friendly. I'm not. Stop. Next caller. Like.
What do you say? I'm nice, but I'm not friendly.
I say I'm nice. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll add I'm nice and polite, because I am, but I'm just not friendly. I'm not outgoing.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
You're unapproachable. Okay. That's your perception.
Yeah.
Next. Well, you've been a dummy in your past dating life. Sure have. Like, there's literally nothing. And we've talked about that too. We've been like, if this podcast ever blows up, like, I would never want somebody that I used to date coming out the woodwork. Like, I don't know him.
No, literally.
But worst case scenario, yeah, that's back when I had low self-esteem. Next.
Literally.
Like, that's back when I didn't love myself. Yep, I did date him. No. Anyways. Now I do.
No, seriously.
So.
You're like, child. Had I moved on the hill. That was a different version of me.
Right.
Anyways.
We don't know her.
No, no, no. Do you think that we're conditioned to believe happiness only comes from being with others?
From a woman's perspective, I think we're conditioned that we are less valuable unless we are in a relationship or married to a man. you know, when women are happy to be the single cat lady, or when they're happy just being single and working on their careers, they're shamed for it. So I think that's something that women experience. I do think we all need like human connection, but I think people are opening their minds up to the fact that like there's fulfillment in all types of relationships, not just romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. You have friends, you have family, you have community in your yoga class or whatever it is. And so there's value in that. But I think if you are not in a relationship or whatever, I think sometimes that women can kind of like start to be conditioned that like they're less valuable, or what's wrong with you, or something must be wrong with you that you just enjoy being single, or, you know. So I think in that way we can kind of like be conditioned, or, you know, the, even the people that don't want to get married or don't want to go through a period of time where they don't want to date. I went through that when I was going through a period of time where I just didn't want to date and I wanted to focus on myself. I feel like multiple people were like, well, you need to be open, da 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 da. You know, and then that's where the comments come in of, how old are you again?
Yes.
And it's like, oh, how dare you be turning 30 and finding a man is not your top priority. So I think we are conditioned in that way, for sure. Or even the people that don't want kids are shamed.
No, but you're so right, because that's true. As women, our value is determined on, are you married? Oh, you ain't got no kids? It's like, there's more to life than that. Mm-hmm. And that's not for everyone. Not everyone wants to be married and have children. And let's be honest, in this day and age, a lot of women are like, I'm good.
Right.
I'm actually okay.
In this economy?
In this economy? Because even me, I mean, even though I want children, I'm like, child, how am I going to afford these children?
Right.
Because I like to eat well and travel and buy nice things. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to factor in a little one in that budget.
Right.
But I do think we are conditioned to, you know, we're taught to, happiness comes from other things or other people, when happiness does truly come within yourself. But it's hard to get to that point. It takes time. And, you know, you will never let yourself down, but other people can quickly let you down. And I've learned that through life, which is why I value just me so much, because people will let you down. And like I was talking about before, it's hard to build yourself back up again. And so for me, I always depend on myself always, because putting your life in someone else's hands, it's tough. You can depend on other people, but, you know, definitely I think it's also good to have your own back as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're born alone, you're going to die alone.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. That's all I have to say on that. I think you made a great point, because that's true.
To be a woman.
Yeah. Well, guys, hope you enjoyed this week's episode.
Hope you're watching alone on your couch with your cat and your glass of red wine in peace.
Go off, queen.
I'm joking. Or I hope you're watching with your close girlfriends.
Or maybe your man. Like, if anyone men, I would love to know.
Listen, if you have a man that's sitting down and watching this whole episode with you, congratulations.
Keep them.
Seriously.
Alrighty. See you guys next week.
Bye.